to you. You ready? Okay, here we go. I really believe that God wants his people to be excited about their financial life. Now and in the future. But oftentimes that's not the case, even for God's people. A lot of times when we think about, and when I say financial life, I'm using the word financial, but I include in that just wealth in general. Possessions, things that we need, just material blessings, etc., which can be bigger than just money, obviously. I think a lot of times, though, people, when they think about financial issues, what they feel is stress, what they feel is anxiety, what they feel is fear. And do you know that there are a lot of people that don't do the will of God for their life because of fear related to money? That is true. There are people who love God. They have great faith in a lot of different areas. But because of the fear of lack in the area of money, they don't do things that God is calling them to do. Or they hold back and they don't go all the way with it. And they don't come into the fullness of God's plan for them. And so addressing these issues, finding a biblical mindset concerning money, actually liberates our hearts from fear. It liberates us from anxiety, and it replaces those emotions with joy, with hope, with peace. How many of you want to feel that when you think about money issues in your life or financial issues in your life? And we should have an anticipation. I believe God wants us to have an anticipation of financial blessing. An excitement about that. I remember going into last year and God was calling us to go. I went on 4 international trips last year. 3 of them ministry trips, and 1 was a gift that he gave me to go to Israel, which was like a life dream being fulfilled. Actually, Pastor Dan Harwell from Church at the Gate, I went with you guys. And I went on 4 international trips. And I went into the year last year knowing, feeling in my heart that God was calling us to go on more international ministry trips than we'd ever been on in 1 year. Now, those things cost money. I'm just telling you right now. The church doesn't pay for that. You know, that we believe God for that. And he supplies it. That costs lots of money. Tens of thousands of dollars to go on multiple international trips. And this is what I felt coming into the year. I knew that he was calling us to go on these trips. And I knew I didn't have that money sitting in my account. But I was so excited. I remember talking to Autumn being like, one of the things I'm looking forward to this year is the testimony of Jesus providing for us to go on all these trips. It's going to be awesome. This is going to be a great year. He's going to provide, you know, whatever it is, thousands of dollars worth of whatever. He does it in many different ways for us to go on these trips because he's calling us to do these things. Now, someone with the fear lack, what we do is we say, Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that because I don't have the money for it. You know what I mean? But I was like, you know what? I've just learned over the course of my life, if God says do it, the money's going to be there. So you just move forward in faith and God's going to provide. I had excitement in me before the money even showed up because I was like, I'm not just excited about doing the ministry. I'm excited about how God's going to provide and letting that bolster my faith in him. Because every time God comes through with financial blessing in your life, what it does is it increases your confidence in his goodness and his faithfulness to provide. And when there's this root system within you of deep confidence, like not only does the word say he's going to provide, but now I've tested him and I've experienced it. He is going to provide. Remember when he did this, when he did this, when he did this. That just gives you strength on the inside to face what God's bringing your way in the future. I think God wants us to have vision in the area of our finances, not just a survival mentality. And a lot of people, we have this survival mindset like, oh, okay, I just have faith. God's going to provide everything I need. But I want to have vision. The Bible says he's not just going to give me what I need. He says he's going to give me more than I need so that I can be generous on every occasion. Have you ever had desires like, you're like, oh, I wish I had a bunch of money to give to this right here? or to give to this person right here. Like, I would love for to play a role in God providing for that person, for this need, whatever it is. I wish I had the money. You know what? God's like, that desire to partner with the Holy Spirit through the grace of giving to advance the kingdom of God is from the Lord. And I expect not only provision for my needs, but I expect provision to be a blessing to meet others' needs. I have vision. I've had vision ever since I was young in the Lord because of my pastor. He taught on this all the time. My mom can tell you. Every single week, he would preach on offering. Every week. He like 5-10 minutes on offering every single week. And on top of that, a huge amount of his sermons where he was talking about God's promises about financial provision. I love that. I'm so thankful for that because it built this confidence in me that the Lord is faithful. And I'll tell you some stories about my early days of God providing. So I want to give you 4 pillars of kingdom thinking about money, okay? To have vision and hope and joy and peace about it rather than dread, anxiety, and fear. Just a disclaimer, this isn't going to be an exhaustive, complete, thorough teaching of everything the Bible says about money, because I have 40 minutes, that's why. But you should read the Bible, you'll find it all, it's right there. But I'm just going to highlight a few things that I felt like God wanted me to highlight to you. So here's 4 pillars. Number one, our dad, talking about Father in heaven, our dad is, this is truth, he is the richest king who has ever lived, and he rejoices to share all of his wealth with his kids. That is absolute truth. There's nobody richer than God. How many of you know this? The Bible says that he owns everything. You know, Bill Gates, we think, oh man, that guy's a billionaire. He's so rich. All of his billions are on loan from him from God. And God has all those oil guys in Saudi Arabia, billions and billions and billions and billions, and they have like gold cars and things like that. They have so much money, they have to invent ways to spend it, and they can't even barely scratch the surface of getting rid of it. They're just all the time just giving it and coming up with these lavish lifestyles. Every single dollar and thing that they have is on loan to them temporarily from God. They're going to give an account to him for how they manage his resources. All the billionaires in the world, all the resource in the world, all the gold that's harvested from the earth and is still in the earth yet to be harvested. All of it belongs to the Lord, and he knows where every diamond is located. He could tell you. Every diamond that's still in the earth, he could tell you it's right here. This is the exact weight. This is the exact size. All the gold, all the silver, all the resource, all the oil, everything. He owns it all. He is so rich, and that guy is your dad. He's your dad, and he's not stingy. He gets pleasure. It actually, one of the things that makes him happy is to share his wealth with you as his child. I'll prove it to you. Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, he's teaching on money. And immediately after telling us not to worry, he says, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. How many of you have heard that before? Right? Then he says, hey, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be what? Added unto you. So he tells us, don't worry about money. And then he promises, this is Jesus, never lies. He says, listen, God will provide for all your needs. My Father will take care of your needs. Immediately after making that promise that he'll always provide for us, he explains how the Father feels about sharing his riches with his children. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It says, don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Like right, the verses right before that are, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Do not worry about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. Your Father is going to take care of you. And then he says, don't you know? Why are you so worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, you know, where you're going to live, where you're going to sleep and have a roof over your head. Why do you worry about that? Don't you know who your dad is? He is so rich. Do you understand? He doesn't give grudgingly. In 2 Corinthians, he tells us God loves a what? Cheerful giver. He says, don't give grudgingly. How many of you know God doesn't give grudgingly? God's not like, fine. Use it wisely, though. Like, you owe me, okay? I expect that back. Not at all. He's got so much, it doesn't put him out even a little bit, and he actually gets happy to share it. How many of you parents love giving good gifts to your children? Man, I love it. Absolutely love it. God, how much more, he says, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask, right? And it actually gives your father great happiness. Not just happiness, great happiness. To receive wealth and financial blessing from God. Are you getting this? Number two, God wants to provide for, not only provide for our needs, but he wants to extravagantly bless his children with wealth. What I mean by extravagantly is he doesn't just provide our needs, he also blesses us with things that we don't need, we just like. It's the way he is. This morning, I'm drinking this really awesome cup of coffee. Homemade caramel sauce. You know, we don't buy it from the store. It's not good enough. We make it. We have a family recipe. We make our own homemade caramel sauce. This is true. We have a espresso machine. Not just brewed coffee. We make espresso with really, really good coffee beans. We have our own coffee grinder. We freshly grind it, and then I make espresso, and then I mix it perfectly with the half and half and the homemade caramel mixture, and I just enjoy it. And this morning, I'm drinking my breve, and I'm worshiping and giving thanks to God, and I'm meditating on singing through the scripture in Psalm 103, where it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. And then he lists five benefits, five things God does for us. He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. Aren't you thankful? Yeah? And then listen to this. He crowns you with love and compassion, which means he relates to you in love and with compassion. That's an awesome deal. But then he says this. He satisfies your desires with good things. And I'm just saying, I'm singing through each one of these. Thank you, Lord, you forgive my sins. Thank you that you heal all my diseases. And then I get to, thank you, God, you satisfy all my desires with good things. And I thought, man, I have so many desires. We all do. I mean, I have like the cool ones that have, you know, that seem noble. Like I want to lead 1 million people to Jesus. That's a godly desire. He satisfies that. I have a desire for companionship. How about you? You know what? He satisfies that desire with himself, with his presence, the Holy Spirit in us. But also, he gives us a husband or a wife, and he gives us children, and he gives us friendships. And then I was going through that, and I'm like, you know what, God? I have a desire for good coffee. I'm just looking at my mug over sitting on the thing that I had it on. I'm like, God, I have a desire for good coffee. And you bless me. You satisfy my desire for good coffee. And it's completely unnecessary. I would be absolutely fine. I'd be still happy. And I'd live if I didn't have coffee. If I had bad coffee, I just probably wouldn't drink it. But if I had bad coffee, I'd still be okay. It's just a desire. It's completely unnecessary. But he says, that's okay. You're not putting me out. I got it. I'm in charge of all the coffee beans in the world. I can spare you. I can give you some coffee. I'll give you some good stuff. I gave your mother-in-law a homemade family recipe for caramel sauce. I'll pass it on to you. You know, he provides that. He doesn't have to do that. He likes to do that. Why? He loves you. He's so extravagant. One of the ways he's revealed himself as Father to me and to my family is just not only providing our needs, we're so thankful for that, but this happens all the time. This is a way of life. Constantly, we're enjoying things that we don't need, but he just, what does it do? It doesn't give me an attitude of entitlement. It gives me an attitude of thankfulness. I'm like, God, you didn't have to do that. I would have been okay, but I receive. Thank you. And I like it, and I love it. Let me ask you a question. If you were head over heels in love with someone, and you're like, you know what? I'm going extravagant this Christmas. I'm gonna work extra hours. I'm gonna save up for months, and I'm gonna go way above and beyond, and I'm gonna give them something extra special from my heart because I love them. And then you came up and you were so excited. You know, how many of you have done that? And you just want to give it so bad. Yeah, when I do that and I really put thought and effort into a gift, I'm like, gosh, do I have to wait till Christmas? Can I just give it now? Because it's so fun to give like that. And I'm like, I want to do it. And then the day comes and you give it to the person. And what if they're like, oh, that is so impractical? And you're like, take that back. Did you keep the receipt? Take that back. We could probably pay a bill with that money. Don't do this. It's not good for a marriage. I'm just telling you. If you've done it, you should repent. No, how does that make the giver feel? How does that make the giver feel? They're like, no, this is an expression of my love for you. I know you don't need it, but I love you. I want you to have it. I love you. You know, what you do in moments like that is you're humbled by it. You're humbled by the generosity and the love that's behind it. And you just say, thank you. And then you honor the giver by receiving the gift with gratitude. Like, this is God your Father. This is how he is. He is so extravagant. He is so extravagant. Now, he doesn't always give us every want immediately when we want it. Because he's also a wise father. And like Autumn talked about a little bit ago, sometimes there's a work he's doing in our hearts to get us ready for it. And even when he withholds those things, it's usually for a redemptive purpose. And hold on, eventually you'll get it. True. Right? Because we see things from an eternal perspective. Listen to this scripture. Proverbs 22:4. True humility and the fear of the Lord lead to riches. Honor and long life. Now, either God's a liar or he actually says what he means what he says. So this is what he says. You go after true humility. You focus on fearing God and serving him. He says, you do that, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get riches. Am I lying? Are you reading it? Is it on your page? I guess I want you to, this isn't my word, right? I'm reporting to you what the word says. Now, either it's right or it's wrong. If you pursue, we don't pursue riches. We pursue the kingdom of God. We pursue righteousness. We pursue true humility and fearing God. But listen, if you do that, this is the way he is. It's the way his kingdom works. He rewards those things. And one of the ways he rewards that is with riches and wealth. He also rewards it with honor. It's like if you behave in an honorable way by walking in true humility, denying yourself, living in righteousness, he's like, I'm going to make sure that you're honored for that forever because I like that. Publicly. And long life. That's what it says. Well, here's the trick. I read this and I just humble myself before the Lord. I say, you know what? I want riches. I really do. I want honor. I really do. I like to be honored. I don't like being dishonored. How many of you know, though, sometimes you'll get dishonored in life to have an opportunity to practice the true humility portion? But in the end, God will flip the dishonor over to honor if you'll lean into humility. I want long life. How many of you want that? Now, here's the deal. Sometimes God sees everything from an eternal timeline. Most of the time, we only see things through a lens of, you know, a 70, 80-year timeline that we think of as our life. But God's like, you don't know. You're living forever. You will live forever. How many of you know those who don't know Christ and live for themselves, they will live in torment, in dishonor, eternal dishonor forever and ever. In torment, not in blessing, in hell. But those who honor the Lord will be honored by God in the New Jerusalem forever and ever and ever. You will live in a literal city that is the wealthiest city that's ever been imagined by man. The streets are gold. Pure gold. The foundations of the city, which are half of the continental United States, 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles high. How many of you know that you got to have big foundation stones to support that size of a city? Isn't that true? That's a big house. Do you know that the foundation stones, there's 12 of them, and each one is a precious gem? I mean, we're talking wealth like you can't even imagine. That's the city you're going to live in forever. Not only will you live there, but you actually have a home there, a residence designed and built by God just for you. See, a lot of times we look at a promise like this, true humility and the fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and life. Well, if we look at Jesus' life from just a human 70, 80-year perspective, we'd say God didn't fulfill his word for Jesus. Because how many of you know Jesus feared God? Yeah, better than anybody. He walked in true humility. Better than anybody, right? Philippians chapter 2 says this. Yeah? Well, when he died, did he have riches? Was he honored in his death? No, dishonored, right? Did he live a long life? No, he died at 33 years old. That's not a long life, not even back then. So we'd be like, well, God didn't fulfill his word. That's not true. Because I'm going to tell you this, Jesus is alive right now. He's alive. And he's going to live forever and ever and ever. I'm telling you, he's the richest man in the entire world. The Bible says that he has authority over all the riches on earth. All the riches on earth. He has authority to designate where they go. That's a rich man. Not only that, he will be the most honored human being for all of eternity in every nation, every corner of the earth and in the heavens. So God did fulfill his word for Jesus, and he'll do it for you too. The point is this, God wants to financially bless us. Riches are part of his reward system. Another scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Listen, and he will give you everything you need. So we focus on the kingdom of God and living in righteousness. That's our focus. We're not pursuing riches. We're pursuing righteousness and living for the glory of God, seeking first to advance his kingdom, right? He says, but if you do this, God supplies us with everything we need, financial provision. Mark chapter 10, 28 through 30. See, where we get messed up is when we covet riches above honoring God. So there is a very rich man, young man, who came to him. Jesus, what do I have to do to have eternal life? Jesus says, let's just obey the commandments. Guy says, I've already been doing all that. Jesus says, okay, just one thing you lack. He says, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, then come follow me. Guy was like, whoa, that's intense. Counts the cost. I'm a wealthy man. My wealth gives me influence. You know, maybe even he's thinking something like, you know, I do a lot of good things with my money. I employ people and keep families and different things like this. And now that's too expensive. I'm going to keep my riches and not follow Jesus. Then afterward, he walks away. The guy walks away sad. And Jesus' disciples are going, hey, Lord, we left everything to follow you. And he says that in Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. What does that mean? He was seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, right? Yes, Jeff, that's exactly right. Good job. So verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, listen to this. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one. That this is literal, okay? There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. He's talking about before you die. Now in this time, 100-fold. How's, and he clarifies what he's talking about. He's not talking about 100-fold some mystical, mysterious, spiritual blessing somewhere. There's 100-fold. He's like, I'm talking about, he says, houses, brothers, you know, the stuff you just gave up to follow me. You'll receive 100-fold now in this life. And he says, and mothers and children and lands with persecutions that goes with this age. I love the honesty of Jesus. And then he says this, and in the age to come, eternal life. Do you see that he says, I'm going to bless you right now. He says, you, we focus on laying down our lives to follow Jesus and preach the gospel. That's our focus, right? And he says, then God rewards us with blessed relationships, land, homes, now in this age, as well as eternal life. Do you see it? I'm not making this up. That's actually what it says. I think sometimes what we need to do, sometimes we get this religious mindset of false humility. And so we don't take the raw words of God for what they actually say. We explain them away. And I think we need to let the word rock us. Read it. Okay, have a conversation with Jesus about it. What adjustment do I need to make in my thinking to conform to what you said? Because what you said is what's going to stand forever. Listen, do you know that right now, this is literal, right now you haven't met them all. You have brothers, you have sisters, you have mothers and fathers all over the world just because you know Jesus and you're in his family. God's your father. Right now, you have access to thousands of homes and land, thousands of acres of land, all over the nations of the world right now just because you're a follower of Jesus. We go to Europe. Right now in Switzerland, there's probably conservatively 10 to 15 homes right now that we could go to tomorrow. And they would invite us in to sleep at their home. They would feed us. We go there. 4 years in a row now, we go there and we enjoy rich fellowship and we meet these people and there's this instant bond. Just we're meeting for the first time, but there's this instant heart connection. Like, this is my brother, this is my sister, and we're praying for each other, we're prophesying over each other, and we're contending for each other's dreams and promises, and we're encouraging one another in the Lord. And it's just like, how is this? There's this deep connection at the heart with the person I just met because the same Holy Spirit that's in them is me and God is Father. You have thousands and tens of thousands of brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers. You know, we go to Germany and there's Bartholdtenkirchen, right, Stan? Just like a father and a mother in the faith. And you just go there and it's like a spiritual mom and dad just encouraging us, prophesying over us, speaking into our life. And we're like, this is awesome. I didn't even know I had a mom and dad in Germany. But I do. And it's that way when we go, we could go to Spain, we go to Italy and it's like this. We go to Italy and it's like, who are all these people? And they're just, go over here. We could go to all these tons of different cities in Italy we could go to tomorrow, and people would feed us and put us in their homes, and we would enjoy rich fellowship and blessed relationships, all because God is our Father, because we've chosen to follow Jesus as Lord. That this is actual, literal, what Jesus is saying when he's like, lands, homes. Last year we had a couple we've never met, a Christian couple. And they owned, it's like 80 acres, 100 acres, I don't remember, in the Bighorn Mountains. And they had this huge log cabin, 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, that they built. Their family enjoys it. But one of the reasons they built it, they just had it in their heart. They're like, we want to bless pastors and missionaries with a free vacations so they can get away and connect with the Lord, connect with each other, and just relax. So we contacted them. And they're like, yes, please come. Our only requirement is that you have to at least stay a full week, because we want you to be away long enough where you can really unwind and truly be refreshed. I'm like, my goodness, who are these people? You know, just filled with love, full of generosity. I'll tell you who they are. They're my brother and sister that I had never met. And the Father owns the land, and he gave it to them for their use, and they use it to bless all of his children. See, right now we go, you know, Bill Gates, for example, he may own many homes in many different places of the world, but you own more. He may, you know, those Saudi princes with their oil, they may own hundreds of thousands of acres of rich real estate. You own more. You have access to it. It's literal. Number three, we must live according to the biblical standards to fully experience the biblical blessings. And I'm just going to give you 4 quick things that these are important. Number one is you have to seek first God's kingdom. If you set your heart on riches and land and wealth, if you set your heart on that and you're seeking and pursuing that first, you will not be blessed. It's true. The condition is seek first his kingdom and live righteously, right? True humility and the fear of the Lord. That's the condition. So seek first his kingdom. Number two, the second biblical standard is be generous. Be generous. I promise you, one of the manifestations of our fear of lack is stinginess. We're stingy because we think, if I give, then I'm not going to have what I want or what I need. It's called stinginess, and God won't bless that. God won't bless that. That's one of the things, that's why he requires in the Word of God, one of the things he requires is from his people, is like, I want you to tithe. It's like 10% right off the top. That's what the word tithe means, literally, a tenth part. Some people are like, I tithe 5%. I'm like, no, that's not a tithe. A tithe is a tenth. It has to be at least 10% to be a literal tithe. And why do we do that? It's not because God needs your 10%. I promise you that. He's doing fine. He's going to make it just fine without your 10%. It's not that he needs your 10%. It's that he needs you. He needs you to acknowledge him as Lord in that area of your life. And you need to acknowledge him as Lord in that area of your life. Because when you do that, it aligns our hearts properly, where we look to him as our provider and not our bank account, not our investment, not our job, not somebody else, not what my own hands can provide for me, right? It's like, no, I don't live according to what my own hands provide for me. I live according to what his hands provide for me. So we want to be generous. Third, biblical standard is financial integrity. You have to be honest. Keep your word. If you say you're going to give somebody a certain amount of money for something, make sure you keep your end of the deal, right? If you're dishonest and you lack financial integrity, and you're just always looking for a way to cheat and cut corners, That heart attitude right there is the opposite of generosity, is what it is. And it's called hoarding. And it's called greed, is what it's called. It's called covetousness, is what it's called. And those are sins. And God won't bless you if that's going on. So we want to lean into financial integrity. I am more concerned that I'm honoring God in every financial deal than I am if I get a few extra dollars. I'm not worried about the few extra dollars. I'll give you the few extra dollars. Because if I keep my heart right with the Lord in this area, I'll be so blessed, I'll have more than I need for everything. I don't need the $5 or the extra $5,000 in some business deal. It's like, you know what? I just err on the side of making sure I do the right thing. Because if I do that, I'll be blessed and nothing can stop me. And the fourth biblical standard I want to mention is a good work ethic. This is a biblical standard. You're not going to be blessed if you're lazy. You're not going to be blessed if you refuse to work. You're not going to be fine. It's not because God doesn't want to bless you. He doesn't want to affirm that, because that laziness and that lack of work ethic, it's harmful for you spiritually. It really is. It is harmful for you spiritually. And he's like, I don't want to enable you to continue in laziness and a bad work ethic. Because it's going to harm you in the long run spiritually and in your relationships. And I want you to be blessed all the way around. So I'm not going to fund that. So be a diligent worker. Be an honest worker. Be early for your shift. Show up early. Do what they require you to do with a good attitude and without complaining. Have a good work ethic. Be a witness for Jesus in your work ethic. I'm not talking about sharing the gospel. I mean, do that. But before you do that, make sure that you're there on time and that you don't complain. You do things the way they tell you to do them, and you do it with a cheerful attitude. If you do that, just that, the light of Jesus will shine through you. Just that. And so I encourage you, have a good work ethic. This is a big deal. If you will seek first his kingdom, be generous, live in financial integrity, and have a good work ethic, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed, and nothing can stop that. Not only in this age, but in the age to come. Now, here's what we think in our mindset. When we think of, oh, God wants, I'm wealthy. So our mindset of wealthy is I have billions of dollars in the bank at my disposal ready to use right now. That's just our mindset. But actually, the truth is we're wealthy because we have everything we need provided for when we need it, and because he gives us more than we need so that we can be generous. But listen, Jesus also said, give us this day our... You know, sometimes it's not sitting in our bank account. Sometimes I show up, and when I need it, it's there. And the day before, we're like, oh, no, tomorrow I need it. Tomorrow I need it. Tomorrow I need it. God, where is it at? Where is it at? Where is it at? And he's like, when you get to tomorrow, it will be there. Now, a lot of times, we have it today. You know, I have food in my house that's going to, it's more than just what I'll eat today. I could live a long time off the food that's in my house right now without buying anything else. I may have leftovers a lot. But you know, a lot of times God blesses us that way. But sometimes it's just every day I need it, I have it. Sometimes you're like Jesus and you show up and there's a crowd of thousands and you only have five loaves of bread and two fish. And then God does a miracle and multiplies it and you have everything you need to feed thousands. You know, but he didn't have the money to have that catered in advance. Sometimes we do, and that's the way he provides. Other times, he just does it through a miracle on the spot. Regardless, we have everything we need when we need it, and more than we need, even extravagant things we don't need. But sometimes not in every season, because God, like Autumn said, he's testing our hearts, right? I mean, sometimes it's like, I really want this new car. And he's like, here's a new car. And other times, it's like, he's not providing it right now. Be thankful for the 15-year-old vehicle that you're nursing through to get by. You'd be thankful for daily bread, right? Lastly, ask for, if all these things are true, if God is rich and he gets pleasure out of sharing his wealth, if God not only provides for our needs but wants to bless us extravagantly even for things that we don't need, and if we're living in biblical integrity in this area, well, then what we need to do is ask for and expect extravagant and unnecessary blessings. Ask for God to provide your needs, but ask God for things that you don't need. I want to read you this list. So as I was preparing this message, so when I was young in the Lord, I told you my pastor preached on this all the time. This is my very first journal I had as a believer. I love this thing. I read the prayers in this, and I'm like, it's so cute. He had such a sweet heart. Like I get encouraged sometimes by reading my prayers. I'm like, God, I feel like I'm doing terrible. I'm being a loser. But even as I read it, I'm like, it's so cute. Like, he just loves Jesus so much. I'm like, that's me. I'm like, good. I'm like, no, I've actually had that experience where I read this and I thought, it's like I'm looking at another person when I read it in my journal instead of seeing me. And I'm like, how can you? I fall in love with this sweet, pure heart of worship. And God's actually encouraged me that way before. I just read my journal. I'm like, that's how you think about me. That makes me happy. So I got this needs. I got this journal entry in here from early on. It's called My Faith Needs List. This is back in mid-90s, okay, before I met Autumn. And I was going to Bible college, and I was working at my church. I was called into ministry, and God opened a door for me to do an internship at my church. I made $89 a week. And I was getting ready to go to Bible college and had all these expenses coming up to go away to college, right? Because I'm going to have to move out of my house and live on my own, and there's just extra expenses that come with that. And I'm like, I don't have enough money. And I remember as I'm doing this internship, and I really felt I was doing what the Lord called me to do. I was working there and I made my $89 a week. I was probably putting in more than that time-wise, but it didn't matter. It was to the Lord, and I was excited to do it, and I was learning so much. And all of a sudden, there was a job opening at a really nice golf course right in the area. It paid really good money, more than I made at this internship, and I can golf all I want for free, use golf carts, everything. And I thought, my goodness, this is amazing. I can golf for free. I'm single, so I got all kinds of time. I'm going, man, I could golf for free as much as I want using a golf cart on a sweet course, and I get more money. This sounds amazing. It was very appealing to the flesh, but I was like, I should pray about this, and because I'm like, to do that, I would have to stop doing the internship. And I feel like I'm supposed to be doing this. I remember I talked to my pastor. I'm like, what do you think I should do? I mean, if I work this job, I could see how working that, making that much money, I could get all my financial needs met before I leave for college. But I don't see how I could get all my needs met working the internship, making $89 a week. I wasn't asking him for a raise. I was asking him for counsel as my pastor. And this is what he said. I love him. He's like, you know what? You need to do what God is telling you to do, and you need to trust him as your provider. He'll take care of you. So I knew right away I'm supposed to stay here. So I said no to the golf job, which is why I stink at golf probably to this day. Just kidding. But I remember I made out this list. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to write out a list of everything I need or want for college. Well, actually, I thought it was a need, but I laugh now when I look through it. Because some of these I'm like, my goodness, I didn't need that much. So I'm going to read this to you, okay? $600 for general counsel. That was that was just a want. My church was going on a trip to this conference, and I thought, I would love to go to that. So I need $600 to go on this trip. I mean, I'm making $89 a week. I need $350 for two suits, one blue and one dark colored, by August 20th. I didn't need two suits. I look back now, I'm like, I didn't even need that. But you know what? I got more than two suits. I'm serious. So I need money for five pairs of nice Levi Dockers by August 15th, 1995. Five pairs. I mean, I wear the same pair of jeans like multiple days now, but anyway. It's like, I need money for two nice short sleeve shirts. I need money for two long sleeve shirts. I need money for black dress shoes, Bostonians, which is like a really high end dress shoe. Because you got to have something to go with the suits, right? You get... And I'm like, I didn't want Walmart, I wanted Bostonians. Two pairs of nice leather casual dress shoes. Two, not one pair, two. Now, this is very important. Socks, dress socks, and underwear. Praise the Lord, he provided. Undershirts, six undershirts, okay? And then $500 in savings to go to school with. And then I wrote Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Then I wrote, thank you, Father, that your word has promised and you have provided. And you know what I have next to most of them? I crossed them out as God provided them, and I wrote the date. $600 for general counsel met on August 6, 1995. Thank you, Jesus. Crossed out. $350 for two suits by August 20th. Provided July 27th, 1995. Thank you, Jesus. A blue and then two dark suit jackets came in. Money for two nice short sleeve shirts. Crossed out $819.95. Thank you, Lord. Money for two long sleeve shirts, crossed out, $819.95. Thank you, Lord. Money for the black Bostonians, baby. Need met on July 28th, 1995. $54.20. Thank you, Lord. Underwear, praise God. Need met July 6th, 1995. Six underwear and one pair of boxers. So that was... extravagant God. He's just above and beyond. Undershirts he provided. Here's what ended up happening. The week before I left for college, I had all this stuff. I had hardly anything in my bank account, literally. I mean, maybe 100, 200 bucks or something. It was very little. And the Sunday morning, that afternoon, church was taking a van driving up to St. Louis from Alabama to go to the conference that I wanted to go to. I didn't have the money for it. My youth pastor comes up to me and he says, hey, we're going to pay for your way for you to go. I thought, praise God. And so I owed some money to my godmother who was visiting at the time. I remember I went home, I packed real quick. I wrote her a check for some money that she had let me borrow or something like that. I can't remember what it was. I gave her the check. And then I go up to St. Louis, and while we're there, we had some free time. We're just walking around the mall. I'm with my youth pastor, and we walk into the store, and we're just looking around at stuff. You know, I didn't really have money to spend, and there was a sale on suits, and he comes up to me and says, just pick out the one you want, and I'm going to buy you a suit. I thought, wow. So you know what I did? Navy blue with pinstripes. Boom. They had other suits given to me. I come back from the trip. And there's a card from my godmother who had already left to go back home. And inside the card was my check that I had written her. She says, don't worry about it. I'm so proud to see what God's doing in your life. Be blessed. You know, he provided not only what I needed, everything I need. And you know, when I look at this list, I still look at it. It's a tree of life. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And this is, God was just like, your $600 for the conference is nothing to me. I find that spare change in my couch all the time, you know. But he says, you know what? He says, I'll meet you there. If you extend your faith toward me as your provider, I will meet you there. I'll honor that childlike faith every day of the week. You reach out to me, I will meet you there. Because what matters to me, the money, it gives me happiness to bless you. But not only that, I'm building something inside of you that's going to build a foundation of faith that will last you the rest of your life. Because you've got to have faith to be expect to be financially blessed if you're actually going to do everything he calls you to do. There's going to be times when he tells you to take a step of faith and you're like, and the devil or the flesh will say, oh, I can't do it. I don't have the money. But the Holy, but God says, I told you to do it. And wherever I guide, I provide. So I have this root system that I've learned to just go for it. And it'd be there when I need it. I expect to be financially blessed. Here's what I want you to do. You guys have listened well. Thank you. And many of you, you guys know this. You could preach it as good as me, if not better. And you could tell your own stories. But what I want to do right now is I want to give you an opportunity to step out in that childlike faith and give God an opportunity to meet you there. I want you to get a pen right now. And I want you to make a needs list. And don't just put needs, put wants. Now, I don't get, if my wants don't get provided, it doesn't throw my faith off. I'm not like, oh God, you didn't give me the Lamborghini. Actually, I don't care about a Lamborghini. If it was given to me, I might just say thank you and sell it and put the cash toward something else, but like a truck or something. But anyway, put your wants on there. Because what happens is when he does provide the wants, it touches my heart. It's God being an extravagant father. He's like, I don't just give you what you need. I love you. I like you. I just want to give you more. And it builds the affection and the confidence between us and Abba. So yeah, I'm just going to give you a few minutes. Write down your needs. And what I want you to do, I want you to put this in your Bible. Put it where you'll see it every day. And I want you to praise him for meeting those needs. Say, God, thank you. This is what I did. I would get out my faith needs list. You can just keep writing while I talk. I would get this out, and I would go through it in my prayer time. God, I thank you for providing $600 for general counsel. I thank you for the $350 for two suits, or just give me the suits, however you want to do it. And I would just go through the list and thank him in advance for his provision. Now, there's a few things on here that I didn't cross out. I only got one pair of nice leather casual dress shoes, so I left it uncrossed out. But, you know, hey, I'm good. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate the one pair. I only got, I think, four pairs of nice Levi Dockers instead of five, so I didn't cross it off. But thank you, Lord. Let him meet you there. Build trees of life within your relationship with the Lord. Later on in my journal, I have a faith needs list, part two. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus actually commanded us to ask him for things. He was teaching his disciples to pray. He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's your physical financial needs, right? Some people, it's a false humility. It's a religious mindset that's not biblical. They think, oh, you know, I'm not going to ask God for things. That's selfish. No, it's not. It's obedient. Hallelujah. All right, let's go ahead and do this. I'll let you, I encourage you, go home and continue your list. You know, get with the Lord and just write it out. Every time you think of something, write it down. And then when God meets it, cross it off, write the date, thank you, Jesus, right? And then keep it and let it be a tree of life that you can go back to and remember and build and have strength in your faith for future times. Amen? Everybody stand with me and hold your list in your hand. And I want you right now, I want you to talk to the Lord line by line, item by item on your list. Just real quickly. Just say, God, thank you. I ask you to provide this. I thank you for it in advance in Jesus' name. I ask you to provide this. Go through your list right now just and talk to the Lord about it. Ask him for it. Father, I agree. I join my faith with everyone here, and I agree with their prayer. And I declare over them in Jesus' name that may God supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, so that you may have all that you need and more than you need on every, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And I bless that when the provision comes, I bless you that it will have a direct impact on your heart connection with the Father, that you will love him more, that you will trust him more, that you will rely on him more, and that you will not be hindered in any way by the fear of lack, and that you will come into the fullness of his calling on your life. And I decree that over you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good deal. I love you guys. Have an awesome day. See you next week.